And welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works today. Hope you're having a great day to this point. He's Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe with you, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Our buddy Sean Marcus stopped by, it's a great day. It's a great day to be alive. What's up, Joe?
It is a great day to be alive. Look, it's beautiful outside today. Get outside, enjoy today. I know the bottom drops out tomorrow, but like I tell you all the time, we are not worried about tomorrow and the days after. We are living in the moment and grateful for every second and grateful to be here at Tennessee Brew Works today, pal.
Indeed we are. Going to talk a lot of college football today. I mean, obviously we'll continue to react to some of the things that Mike Borgonzi said yesterday. Preds back in action tonight against the Flyers. We'll preview our final Metro Schools game of the week, which is Antioch and Shelbyville tonight. Coach Arsente Broom will join us at 1:30, and looking forward to that on 94.9 The Fan, as it'll be we'll do one playoff game, and that'll be it for our first season of doing these games.
So we'd like to start off with good news anytime we get it, and you're going to hear more about this today.
Greg Wyshynski will also join it, too.
All right, Wyshynski, too. What Jeffrey Simmons did for Maplewood High School the other day needs to be talked about, needs to be celebrated in every way possible. Jeffrey Simmons bought uniforms for Maplewood, for a Metro school team, as they make their way into the playoffs. I am telling you, that is one of the greatest things ever happened to Metro High School football. I know Jack Conklin a few years ago bought uniforms for Glencliff High School.
Yeah.
That's great. When these guys give back beyond what they – off the football field and things like that, should be celebrated. Jeffrey Simmons, I don't know if you're listening. I know you don't know who you are, and that's fine. But I'm telling you.
I think he knows who we are.
The impact you had. No, I had no clue. The impact you had on those boys and that coaching staff by donating, buying uniforms, top-of-the-line uniforms, for them, that is generational talk. People will talk about that for years to come. So thank you, Jeffrey Simmons. I'm a product of Metro High School football. A lot of my friends are as well. I'm telling you, that goes so far for what he did yesterday right before the playoffs, because the old line looked good, feel good. Now the Maplewood Panthers are going to look good and feel good.
Yep, I totally agree. And look, Jeffrey Simmons is what he's done community-wise. I think, look, nobody's going to push back on that. I think he's been a great ambassador for the Titans in the Nashville community. And you know, there was obviously some very tragic news that came out of the NFL this morning with a Dallas Cowboys player losing his life. And it was – what's crazy about it is Marshawn Nealon is the player, and it's being reported an apparent suicide at the age of 24. He scored a touchdown on Monday Night Football. And then now more's coming out that, you know, it looks like there might have been a police chase or something, and then he took his own life with a self-inflicted gunshot. And it just, you hate seeing stories like that. But Jeffrey Simmons actually tweeted a few minutes ago, "It sucks seeing the news of our NFL brother. Even when someone is carrying the biggest smile, make sure to check in on them. You just never know, man. Don't be afraid to ask for help. We all go through things that we sometimes hide. If you or anyone you may know that needs emotional support, reach out to the National Mental Health Hotline, 988. You are not alone." And that's a message that we have obviously been pushing for a long time. And Joe, you have, you know, been at the forefront of this, but, you know, to see Jeff put that out there, and, you know, I mean, it just, obviously this young man was conflicted with something, and,
right,
and just, I hate to see that that's the path he chose.
Well, but that's the thing. Mental health does not care what color you are, does not care if you're male or female, does not care how much money you have in the bank, does not care what car you drive, does not care about any of that stuff. Mental health affects us all. It affected me in a massive way 2.5 years ago, and I decided to talk to somebody, which saved my life. And so we don't come on the air and say, hey, you know, look at this and do that. This is personal. This is to all the men who've reached – we say it all the time – who've reached out to us in the past 2 years. We are so grateful, because you're now talking about it. Talking about it opens up everything. And, we partner with Unity Psych Care. Thank you guys so much for doing this. I mean, this is not something that we put and run commercials and that's it. It's something we abide by and are fully invested in. So, again, we talk all the time. If you need to talk to somebody, please talk to somebody. I don't care who it is. Just open up, and it's great, and keep doing that. And I talk to people all the time. Chase, I talk to you all the time, and Ricky all the time, and Dr. Crane all the time. I mean, we always check on each other and do that, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am for all that and for my friends, and I'm three or four other group texts that I'm on. We're always checking on each other. So please do that. It's simple. It's very simple to do that. And I hate seeing that. I mean, the guy scored a touchdown on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I know.
And now he's no longer with us.
And look, I mean, I don't want to speculate on anything. I mean, there was a traffic stop, and that's what's being reported. And it's like, you know, I hate seeing how it ended.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That's really all I know to say about it. But, you know, we want to continue to pass that message along of mental health. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're going to, you know, have some fun today here at Tennessee Brew Works talk a lot of sports and fun with you. Joe, what's our question of the day?
Our question of the day is, and I found it this morning, and let's have fun with this. What's the oldest thing in your closet? And I swear to God, if you text in and say your wife, we're cutting you off. What is the oldest thing in your closet? So I'm looking for a bathing suit for us for next week. We're going to Key West to do our shows down there. And I got a big pile of clothes. And I pull out my sweatshirt that I got day one of junior college football from 1986. And I'm thinking, I've lost everything I've ever had just about, and yet this damn sweatshirt is nearly 40 years old. I don't remember transporting it anywhere. I don't remember packing away anywhere. I don't remember putting in a bag to carry with me to I've lived in 18 different places over the years. But there it is. It's 40 years old. The thing won't go. That's the oldest thing. I'm thinking, what other people have in their closet that is so old that it's still there? Still relevant to you.
Mine is, it's funny you mentioned a sweatshirt. Mine is a Loveless Cafe sweatshirt from probably the late 80s, early 90s.
When's the last time you put it on?
A long time ago.
Right?
Yeah.
It's still hanging
out. It was my dad's or my uncle's. I mean, I don't even know if it fits me anymore, but yeah, it's one of those, like, it's hanging in there. I'm not going to do anything with it.
I need you to wear it. I'll wear my JUCO football sweatshirt one day, which I'm afraid to put it on because if I put it on, I think the whole thing just rips in half.
Yeah. No, I think it's just meant to stay in your closet.
Yeah. So you'll never get rid of that.
It guards the closet.
Yours has a sentimental value.
Well, sure, yeah.
Which is far deeper than mine.
So I have, next to it, I have Loveless. I have an old shirt that my dad had from the Natchez Trace, which was his bar in Bellevue.
Nice.
And then I have a Pisketti's one as well.
Oh,
that
even
was
better.
So I have all those things.
You need to wear all those. They're like different segments.
I don't think they could support being worn again.
Oh, man. We'll have to see. But, no, that's it. I just want to know what's the oldest thing in your closet. I mean, it could be a piece of clothing. What's the oldest piece of clothing you got in there? I mean, there's like that from 1986, and then there's like a 25-year break, and then some other stuff that's there. And I only wear like 2% of what's in my closet. As you watch the stream every day, you can know my wardrobe routine.
Yeah, it doesn't change.
That's pretty sad.
You got like three shirts.
That's how we're the same three shirts over and over again. And like, I got to host an event in Murfreesboro tonight, so I had to find my suit. I'm like, where is my suit? Right? Pat me on the back. Oh, pulled a muscle. Pat myself on the back. But I had to find my suit today. I'm like, gosh, this suit. I mean, that's like I'd never wear this thing. I don't wear it tonight. So, yeah, as much as we could pat me on the back is physically, too, Chase, pat me on the back is better.
There's a bunch of, like, videos for Tony Vitello, you know, going around as he's leaving, and somebody showed one of when he was introduced. He's changed. He looks different.
How so?
He's just older and has the beard and everything now.
Right. He's a Major League Baseball manager.
He is. He is. So, obviously, pulling for him. But, yeah, I love that question of the day. 615-737-1025. Let's see. Dustin says, a Tommy Hilfiger button-up. I took senior pics in it in 2006. Then I got that photo on my phone.
Oh, I love that.
Nevada Josh, so weird. Almost identical. Oh, wait, sorry. That was on the other thing. Matthew from Jolton, mine is a Steve McNair jersey.
So that's got to be at least almost 30 years old.
Yep. Oh, this is a cool one from Matt. I've got my granddad's Navy uniform from World War II.
Holy cow. Yes.
That is awesome. Josh and Donaldson, my Triple C Donaldson Warriors yes. jersey from 1992.
Yes. There we go now. Now I need Josh to call back with your Triple B jersey.
Joey from Gallatin, I've got a leather members-only jacket. I also have a vintage UT Letterman jacket.
Wait, how do you get a vintage UT? Did you play? Does somebody in your family play? That's a Letterman jacket. You just can't go buy that, can you?
Yeah. 2758, my kindergarten graduation suit from 1982. No lie.
Now, why would you have that?
I don't know.
I mean, it's great. I love it. I'm just curious why that stuck around with you.
Mike in Lebanon, a Robert Plant concert T-shirt from 1994 at Starwood.
Oh, that's nice. You could probably still wear that, too.
0625, I am 39, a Javon Kearse jersey from 99-2000 my kids wear today.
So he got that when you were 14, because that was 25 years ago. That's nice.
Al says, easy for me. I still have a Reds standard size souvenir helmet my stepdad bought me at a Cardinals-Dodgers game in 1976. All hail Pete Rose.
Oh, yes. That's those things cool. were made of steel back then.
2518, a 1978 San Diego Clippers T-shirt from when I was five, but I also have my grandfather's World War II Army uniform.
Oh, these are great.
Those are awesome.
San Diego Clippers. I can only name one San Diego Clipper, and I think it's Norm Nixon. I'm probably wrong on that.
2104, a Bud Beer sign from my dad's sports bar, mid-80s, Elysian Inn.
Ooh, what? The Elysian Inn? Okay, that's nice.
Kevin says, my Wright Raiders Junior High School City Championship jacket from 1994.
Why has that escaped the Goodwill bin?
I don't know.
I like that.
Josh says, I have a Grant Hill Pistons jersey and a Monstar Space Jam jersey, both from 1997. Well done. So good. So good. 2758 says, when my mom passed in 2020, I retrieved it from her closet, talking about the graduation suit.
Oh, that's – see, I
that's
love that stuff.
Sentimental now.
Yep. I did the same thing with when my mom passed away. She had a few items that were mine. I was like, oh, okay, but that she had kept, and so I got those back. So I would not take $100 million for any of that stuff.
615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, we're live today at Tennessee Brew Works on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, little Eagles for you on this Thursday, live at Tennessee Brew Works.
So proud of you for saying that.
Not the Eagles.
You're a smart man, buddy.
Yep. The band is named Eagles.
That's right.
Not the Eagles.
That's right.
So I've told my buddy Phil that does trivia, I said if you ever ask an Eagles question and somebody puts the Eagles – that you are not to accept it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, I think that is 100%. We're live today at Tennessee Brew Works. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. Gator Mike has called in with a story for you, I believe.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly what we're getting into, but hello, Gator Mike.
What's going on, fellas? First off, my answer to the question of the day is the first thing that I treasure the most that's old is I have my grandfather, which, Joe, you remember Floyd. He used to drive the shuttle at the hotel.
Yep.
My grandfather, Floyd, I have his dog tags from when he served in World War II.
That's
hanging
awesome.
Hanging on my tie rack. And then the one T-shirt I cannot part with is a Hard Rock Cafe shirt from the London location when we went there between my sophomore and junior year of high school with my mom and all of her students from Hunter's Lane.
I didn't know your mom taught at Hunter's Lane.
Yeah, well, she actually started at Maplewood. Shout out Maplewood, since you were talking about it earlier. And my very first Nashville sports hero was Keith Ridley, a great basketball player at Maplewood.
Right.
But, yeah, she went to Maplewood when it opened. But long story short, my story I wanted to get in yesterday, since y'all were talking about the sounds and all that stuff. First off, was there a better minor league baseball tradition than the Soundettes back in the day? And longtime people will know what we're talking about, right, Joe?
Now, Buck
Showalter back in the day were great.
Buck Showalter married one.
Did he really?
Yeah, he married a Soundette.
Okay. So my story involving Music City Todd Rodermel at the Omni. So you remember back in the day, Joe, when they would always have the Major League Baseball teams come in that they were affiliated with and yep. do like that round robin after spring training?
That's true.
Okay. So it was a year they were affiliate with the White Sox. Well, it was the White Sox, the Indians, and the Tigers. And Albert Bell had just got traded from the Indians to the White Sox. Well, Todd and Eric Opron, you remember Eric when he was at the Omni and also Opryland?
Yep.
They're huge Indians fans. They knew John Hart, the GM, and all this stuff. So since all the teams were staying out at Opryland for the round robin thing at the Sound Stadium, Todd and Eric told John Hart to let the White Sox GM know that they were going to put Albert Bell in the handicap accessible room at the building old 2-6 connector. You remember that, Joe? It was like a dungeon down there.
It was,
and they were like, they were not going to let him move the room or anything because they were so pissed that Albert Bell had left the Indians and gone to the White Sox. So I love that story when I think about old Sound stuff and holding a grudge. But, yeah, Todd got the last lap on that one, so that was funny.
Nice, pal.
Thank you.
All right, take care, fellas.
Thank you, Gator Mike. Appreciate it.
Love that.
Good story.
Great story.
Greg Pogue has on our question of the day, the oldest thing in your closet. This is a cool one. A 1982 Brewers Raleigh Fingers mustache t-shirt that read, "How do you spell relief? R-O-L-L-I-E. It was a takeoff from the Rolaids commercial at the time.
Oh, that's great. Yes.
That's a good one.
That's when the Brewers last were relevant, 1982.
Yeah. The old American League.
The old American
Brewers
League.
As well, so. 615-737-1025. 7654, I have my grandmother's engagement ring from 1933.
Now, is that in the closet?
Actually, it's funny. It's at the closet at my mom's, but I have both my grandmother's, I guess, engagement or wedding rings, and then my mom's as well in the closet.
Okay.
So, I do have
I guess we could split this off one day, like, your most cherished thing you have.
Yeah.
Or mine was like the oldest thing in the closet that still somehow has escaped everything and still here. But all these right. are all great.
Brian from Camden. This is a good one. I still have a t-shirt from my first concert at age 14. I am 51 now. Poison and Slaughter at Pacer Arena in Martin.
Yeah.
From 1990.
Slaughter and Poison came to UT Martin. Is that what we're guessing?
Yeah, I guess.
Holy cow, man. That is up. Rube Fleetwood on Twitter sent us a picture of his Flat Rock Vols 1976 City Champs jacket. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely beautiful. A youth football, because I always grew up playing youth football here. Flat Rock, the Warriors, Old Hickory Bulldogs, the Madison Rams. The Bellevue Steelers, and I'm looking at teams.
Bellevue that's right, yeah.
The Graymar Pirates. I mean, these are all youth football. We all played these growing up. And so to see a Flat Rock Vols City Champ jersey from our jacket from 1976, you absolutely made my day. So thank you.
Our good friend Jill Jelnick from Fox 17 has texted us, in my closet, an Angels rally monkey from the 2002 World Series.
I remember those,
yes. I remember those too.
Yes!
That was
Rally Monkey!
Socia, and Mike Socia was the manager.
Mike Socia was the manager, yep.
Yeah, they beat the Giants, right?
They
sure
did.
It was Bonds, and then Dusty was the manager of the Giants, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a good – I remember that series, watching that with my dad. Eli from Smyrna, the oldest the oldest thing in my closet is the hope for a Titans Super Bowl.
That's in a lot of closets. That's in a lot of closets around.
Is that in Mike Berganti's closet?
Yeah.
I went back and watched that press conference again last night. I'm still, like, impressed with him.
Well, if he's allowed to answer.
Yeah. I like him. I think he's the only one over there that knows what he's doing.
If he's not afraid of the vaudeville hook when you start standing right there.
and Brinker yanks him off the stage.
Yep. But I don't know. We'll see. Brad wants to answer our question of the day. Brad, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
We're good.
Good. All right. So I got a baseball story. Back in 2000 in April, I went to the third game of Detroit Tigers season in Detroit, and they had just built the stadium, and they hit a home run. The away team hit a home run out in the right left field, and the whole crowd started screaming, "Throw it back, throw it back." So they threw it back, and old Bobby Higginson, he tossed it over to the ball boy, and I was in the first row. I was like 8 years old. And the whole crowd started yelling, "Give it to the kid, give it to the kid." So they gave me the ball, and I was over the moon about it. And then within 20 minutes, these people in suits came over and they said, "Hey, give us the ball, kid." I'm like 8 years old. I'm like, "No." And they're like, "Oh yeah, you got to give us the ball. We're kicking you out of the game." I was like, "For what?" And they're like, "This is the first home run hit in the stadium by an away team. We're gonna put it in our little case or whatever." And I was like, "So what are you going to trade me for it?" And they're like, "We'll be back." They came back with a $500 gift card, a baseball bat, some gloves, and the baseball bat wasn't even by Alan Trammell, the manager. It was by Bubba Trammell's brother, and it was covered in pine tar and broken. So I'm like 8 years old. I'm like, "Whatever, I got a baseball bat. This is awesome." I could not get the pine tar off my hands for probably 2 months.
I love how they said they were going to kick you out of the game. They can't do that.
Right.
Like, yeah, if you want to keep the ball, you can keep the ball.
Wait, where's your parents in all this?
My mom is right next to me going, "Oh, you got to give him the ball." And I was like, "No." And the whole crowd's like, the whole crowd's booing these people. These guys are like 7'5", 300 pounds, and then this little old lady in a suit. And she's like, "You got to give me the ball, kid." I was like, "I'm not giving that to you." And then she's like, "Hold on, we'll be back. We got better stuff to give you." I'm all excited for this baseball bat and gloves and this gift card. Come to find out, is the first home run ever hit at the stadium by an away team.
So what do you have left from this moment?
I have just the baseball bat. I don't know where the rest of the stuff is. I think
that's
my mom
all right, though.
Gift card.
That's a good little treasure.
Yeah, did you buy anything with the gift card?
No, I think my mom kept it and probably sold it.
Nice.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call, Brad. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, boys.
You
Thank
too.
You, Brad.
You too. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Listen, guys, next week we're going someplace. Yeah, the Chasing Big Joe Show. The Chasing Big Joe Show turns into the Chasing Big Joe Great Road Show. We're headed to Key West, Florida for three fun-filled days, and we're taking you with us. We're broadcasting from the stunning Marker Key West Harbor Resort, just steps from world-famous Duval Street. To see how beautiful it is and the perfect place to stay in Key West, just go to themarkerkeywest.com. Our coverage also brought to you by the great people at Roxy 8 Theater in Dixon, making the movie experience great again, roxy8.com. The Nashville Cats, the perfect gift this Christmas, great gear and swag for the Nashville Cats. Just go to nashvillecats.com for more. I'm wearing their brand new hat today. Thank you.
Looks good.
Reunion Township at 109, comfortable luxury living in Mount Juliet that you deserve, and City Limits Apartments in Spring Hill, resort-style living with an upscale lifestyle that is perfect for you. That's all next week, starting Monday.
Going to be fun. We'll have more coming from Tennessee Brew Works. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Thursday at Tennessee Brew Works. We've been here quite a bit lately and enjoying it. So when we talk about some of these college openings, Joe, is Pat Fitzgerald's name now very much in the mix? Now that he's been exonerated of everything, all that stuff's behind him, it's been settled, he said he feels vindicated. I mean, don't you feel like he would be a good fit for one of these jobs?
Yeah, I think he needs to stay up north, though. I don't think his brand of football works in the south. Look, DJ Durkin is an interim coach at Auburn, and all the stuff that happened at Auburn, that Maryland, he was there. You know, so these coaches will get a second chance, and, you know, and he was exonerated what happened at Maryland and all that. You could look it up and read for yourself. But I think, yeah, I mean, there's a shortage of really good coaches, and Pat Fitzgerald's a great coach. And if I'm a school, all this hazing and stuff was thrown out and pretty much exonerated the way he was. I think he's a really good 17 years at Northwestern, so yes.
Yeah. He said he told the College Game Day podcast, which was his first interview since he was fired in July of 2023, that he spent the past 2 years preparing to return to coaching and is actively seeking a return to the college sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. But I don't think his brand of football works in the South. I don't.
At Penn State.
Works fine. Going to go to Penn State.
Yeah.
Stay up there.
I think he'd be good there.
Do that. But it's just, I think in this SEC, you're talking about a brand of football and everything that you know what it is. I mean, it's not power football like the Big Ten is. It's just not. It's completely different, which is why when an SEC team meets with a Big Ten team, I love it because it's truly night and day how they approach a football game.
Yeah. Northwestern released a statement after everything that said inappropriate conduct in the football program did occur. It added the evidence uncovered during extensive discovery did not establish that any player reported hazing to Coach Fitzgerald or that Coach Fitzgerald condoned or directed any hazing. So basically said he, you know,
yeah.
He didn't know.
I will tell you this. From experience, every team's got one guy that has a pipeline to the head coach.
Yep.
Every business has but one person that has a pipeline to the boss. So to say the plausible deniability for a lot of places is no. You know what's going on. And if you don't know what's going on in your locker room,
I kind of feel like it's your job to know what's going on.
Right, exactly. But I don't know the whole Northwestern situation. But I do know that he felt like with the report that came out, I guess it was August or September, that he was cleared of everything. And that's what you go by. And so he's a heck of a coach. And now,
yeah.
But these openings, man, and they're just everywhere. It's something else, too. And we talked about Peter Burns last week about what LSU is going to do about you're not getting that same contract. And somebody else had something else, another national writer, about LSU, you're shooting yourself in the foot because now you're going to lose. You're still going to get a coach, a good coach, right? If a coach is not going to come there and he's not going to get $12 million, that's fine. You'll find a coach who's a little bit more affordable than that, and you'll be fine. These outrageous contracts, I think, for the most part, are fine, but you only come to fruition when you got to pay these things out.
Right.
With Jimbo and Brian Kelly and Jimmy Frank, and we know all that, but you're not going to miss out on coaches. If you're missing out on a coach who wants $10 million instead of $4 million, good. That means he isn't there for the money. I need a guy who wants to coach. And I don't care what you get paid, but I still think right now LSU, to me, is the top job in college football that's open.
I would agree. Penn State number two? Or Florida? Auburn? Auburn's a good job.
I'd go Penn State and Florida are tied. And Gator Mike knows this, and you know this. I mean, the amount of football talent in Florida each year that escapes is something that will always just drive me crazy. I mean, there's so much. What did Jimmy Johnson, what did he do? Establish the line south of Orlando or something like nobody's getting out down here. And nobody, I mean, so many great players. So that Florida job, if you could recruit within the state and get some of that talent to stay home, I mean, it's a win-win.
ESPN's current rankings for the open jobs are LSU, Penn State, Florida, Auburn, Oklahoma State. I don't get that one.
Me neither.
Virginia Tech, Arkansas.
I like Arkansas.
Stanford, UCLA, and that's all they put.
I'm gonna give you a hot take. You know what? To me, that I know 1, 2, 3 is up there, but I'd like that UCLA job. I would really.
I could see Brian Kelly, you know, or Franklin, but I feel like Franklin's destined for Virginia Tech right now.
I think Jimmy Frank would fit in with the LA.
Oh, he'd be, yeah.
Love it. I really, the tradition there. And don't tell me nobody goes to the games. I don't care because the product hasn't been good. You start winning, people show up to games. It's pretty simple. But I like that. I mean, just that there's a lot of talent in Southern California, man. Same thing. You got to own your backyard. Remember we laughed at Butch Jones, like, I'm going to put a brick wall around the state of Tennessee. People, I was like, good. He should. You should do that. Because a lot of talent got out of the state when Fulmer's last couple of years, because Phil Fulmer got so damn lazy recruiting the state of Tennessee. A lot of guys left.
Yeah.
Golden Tate, I know he went to Notre Dame. Golden Tate should have never gotten out of the state of Tennessee. I know he's headed to Notre Dame, but make a push for him. And there are others during this time that got out of the state.
It is going to be interesting, you know, who, because you know there's going to be a domino effect.
Yeah.
Like, if Eli Drinkwitz takes a job, that opens up Missouri. If, you know, heaven forbid, Clark Lee takes a job, that opens up Vanderbilt. Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss, that opens up there. So,
do you really think Clark Lee would go?
I believe that with the jobs that are currently open, I think they will pursue him, but I think he would stay. I think the only one that would concern me a little bit is Notre Dame. If Notre Dame were to, like, if Marcus, I don't think Marcus Freeman's getting fired.
Right.
I'm saying that would be a domino.
Clark, did you coach at UCLA for years? Is that where you met Brian Callahan?
Maybe.
I think he coached at UCLA. And he did. 2006, he was a GA at UCLA under, I think, Brian Callahan was with him in 2006.
He's been there a couple times.
Oh, you're right. He came back as linebacker coach. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
who is the coach at South Dakota State, the guy that's been there forever?
John Steigelmeier. That's what it said.
Hmm. So he was with Carl Durrell at UCLA?
He was.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Clark has been around. Look, I'd go after Clark Lee. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd pursue him at all these
but
schools.
I think he wants to see this through. I think he – you know, because now the fun part and the test is going to be, can you build off of all this when Stowers is gone, Pavia is gone, you know, Junior Sherrill? Like, I mean, can you continue to build?
So they're 7-2. They yep. should beat Auburn. They should beat Kentucky. Now they're 9-2. We'll talk all about that going to Knoxville the last week of November. But if Clark Lee gets Vanderbilt into the college football playoff, these other schools would be a fool not to talk to him.
Well, I mean, even if he gets them to 9-3, if they finish the regular season at 9-3, like that right there, I mean, that's
– do we understand that Vanderbilt's never had a 10-win season? Is that accurate? I think we looked this up.
I think that's probably true.
I don't think they've ever had a 10-win season. I don't think they had it during Jimmy Frank was here.
No, that 9 was what he got them to, right?
Right.
All right, hang on. Just a moment. Keep talking.
Yeah,
you're good.
I thought we
looked
this up, the fact that Vanderbilt had never had a 10-win season.
You having a good time? We're having a good time.
We're having a great time. So if you go in that game.
They have never had a 10-win season.
Wow. So you're 9-2 if everything's
the most they have ever – they have had a 9-win season 4 times.
That was 1905 to 1908. When was that?
They did it in 1904. They did it in 1915. They did it in 2012 and 2013.
Oh, my goodness. Jimmy Frank got him there, right? So that's it. Jimmy Frank. And then Jimmy Frank won a lot of games at Penn State.
Yep. They had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. They've done 8 wins 14 times.
Okay.
And Dan McGugin had a good chunk of those. Red Sanders had a couple. Art Gupp had a couple. George McIntyre had one. And then your favorite, W.H. Watkins.
That guy.
Yeah, he had.
That
had
guy, we used to go to the Gold Rush and drink penny beer together, and he'd get in his horse carriage and drive off. I'm like, no, man, I'd have to take the horses away from him. He would get so drunk. And then he would stumble his way over to his house off of Ashwood Avenue, and that was it. Good guy. You know what WA stood for?
No.
Wasted away.
Well, it's WH. But
oh.
Wasted heavily?
That's it, man. Oh, God.
But, yeah, it's kind of funny looking at this. Like, obviously, Franklin had a couple of 9-win seasons, as did Dan McGugin. But then, you know, Bobby Johnson, his best was a 7-win season in 2008. Fred Pankos, his best was a 7-win season in 1975.
Wow.
Sloan had a 7-win season the year before that, 74. That's pretty nuts. So, I mean, they're already, you know, 2 wins away from their best.
Yeah, right? Isn't that crazy? 3 wins away from being the best all time.
That would be awesome. So, certainly interesting, that is for sure. We'll have more coming from Tennessee Brew Works today, Chase and Big Joe, on this Thursday, 102.5 The Game. A little Bad Mama Jamma on this Thursday, live at Tennessee Brew Works, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game. You know, we may have done something similar to this, but I was on the way in, I was listening to some music, and do you ever, like, run across an actor or an artist that has passed on, and you're like, I still can't believe they're gone? There's two that really pop out for me.
Yeah, there's one for me. Who do you got?
Jimmy Buffett.
All right.
Like, I just haven't accepted it yet. And Toby Keith. Like, Toby Keith is one of just, like, I feel like he's still touring.
That's a really good one. I didn't think about it. Buffett always. Mine is Glenn Frey.
That's a good one.
Because today's Glenn Frey's birthday, I think, or yesterday was.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been 77 years old. So, and it's, I guess it plays in because Vince Gill, who he had on Tuesday, took over most of Glenn's vocals on the Eagles. So, it even drives the point home more. But that was very sudden. And then Glenn Frey's been gone nearly almost, passed away in January of 2016. So, 10 years. So, absolutely, man. A lot of that.
Yeah. So, just kind of an interesting discussion. This weekend, you know, we'll obviously get hot and heavy into some college football and some of the games. You mentioned Vanderbilt and Auburn. You know, to me, this is one where you can right the ship a little bit after a tough one last week against Texas. They got to take care of business, though. You're at home.
Right. Isn't Auburn's strong safety, like, all this, he's done. He hurt his knees out for the year. So Auburn is hurting.
This will be the first game with, is it DJ Durkin?
DJ Durkin.
Which?
Former Maryland coach.
Yeah, that's an interesting
Not
one.
Well liked, from what I was told.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. And I'm sure Clark Lee knows this. The uncertainty of, all right, how does DJ Durkin, because Hugh Freeze was checked out. I mean, the reports came out of Auburn. This dude was checked out. There's a report that during, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but it was, a lot of people talked about it. Like, during camp, they had a morning practice, and then he wasn't around the afternoon, and he was at a golf course watching dudes golf. That was the report, is that Hugh Freeze, instead of breaking down tape, he was at a golf course in Auburn.
You know what I think he needs?
Not golfing.
What he needs to do now is ESPN needs to hire him to do what Dan Mullen was doing before Dan Mullen left for UNLV. Just talk college football and go play golf. Just be done. I don't think he needs to be a coach anymore.
I'm with you. Yeah. You can tell. I mean, you can see these guys. Yeah. So, Clark Lee, how does DJ Durkin, I mean, do they do surprise plays, trick plays? What's going on? How do you approach the game? If I'm Vanderbilt, I just stick to my game plan. Stick to what got you back in the game in the second half versus Texas. Rely heavily on Pavia. Pavia has destroyed Auburn at New Mexico State and at Vanderbilt, and he's had a field. Let him do his thing, man, and just worry about Auburn. Nothing else. About Auburn, and that's it.
What do you think the line is?
12.5.
6.5.
Vanderbilt's only favored by 6.5?
I'm a little surprised by that, too.
If I'm you, don't take my advice. I'm always.
Well, I would hammer Vandy, but, like, that's a little bit of a surprising number.
That heck, I thought at least 12, least 10.
Right. I agree. So that one is certainly an interesting one.
So this will be Vanderbilt's third time facing a coach in a program that's gone. Virginia Tech, LSU.
Got Virginia Tech's coach fired.
Pretty much, yeah. Auburn.
And I think they got Brian Kelly fired. They did. Actually, they did. Because they played Virginia Tech, he may have coached one more game.
I think he got fired after three games.
Yeah, but Brian Kelly was fired after losing to Vanderbilt.
Didn't they have one more after him?
I don't think so.
But they went home and lost to somebody. Who did LSU play after Vandy?
They play. Hang on. You may be right. Hang on. I may be crazy. Texas A&M. You're right.
Yep.
At home. They lost to A&M at home.
Saw enough and gone. So. Yeah. Again, so just prioritize Auburn. I would, if I'm Clark Lee, again, I make Auburn seem like the 85 Bears. Just, you got to play your best to beat them. And then get Kentucky next week in here. Kentucky, you know, shut down Auburn, and they scored a lot of points versus Tennessee. So you know what you get, but you get a better team than they are. And then head in the knock. Could you imagine 9-2? All you got to do is beat Tennessee, and you're in the college football playoff.
The Vols would love nothing better.
Yeah.
I tell you, what irritates Tennessee fans, and you guys can all shut up because all my Tennessee fans know this, friends, nothing annoys Tennessee fans more than when Vanderbilt's successful. I'm telling you, it doesn't.
Because they don't think they're supposed to be
right.
Ever.
You get all tight about Georgia, Florida, Alabama, yep. I get that. But when Vanderbilt does well, it drives you guys crazy, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
I mean, like LSU-Alabama Saturday night, and there's no buzz now.
Zero.
But wouldn't it be just so, like, college football for LSU?
To beat them?
Yeah, to beat Alabama.
Wow, that'd be something else. When's the Georgia-Texas game? Is that next week?
Georgia plays Mississippi State in Starkville this week.
Oh, Dr. Crane, rally your troops, brother.
I heard Jeff Lebby bought 60 – no, not 60. He bought 600, 600 tickets for students that couldn't afford it. So he wants Starkville packed Saturday.
Wow.
I know 11 a.m. kick.
Oh, God, I hate those. I know Tennessee fans who went down there to Starkville were like, this place is something else. Like, they had no idea it would be that loud. But, of course, a lot of Tennessee fans went down, too, but they loved it.
Georgia-Texas is next Saturday night on ABC in Athens.
Oof.
Next week's a pretty good week. You got Oklahoma at Alabama at 2:30. Alabama got some, got to take care of business games coming up.
Well, they're earning this.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Pittsburgh at 11. That's a pretty interesting game.
Yeah, Notre Dame rolls on them though.
Again, this is next week. Tennessee plays New Mexico State. Iowa, USC at 2:30.
Where's that game?
USC.
Okay.
It's at the Coliseum. Florida, Ole Miss. UCLA, Ohio State. Mississippi State, Missouri.
How fitting would Florida and Ole Miss if Florida beat Ole Miss?
And then Lane takes the job.
And Lane takes the job.
That would be something.
But is it Gonzalez, the coach that's there now at Florida? I mean, if he knocks off Ole Miss and they play Georgia down to the wire and they beat Tennessee, they beat Ole Miss, they might have their new head coach. They're going to beat Florida State.
Yeah.
They might keep, like, we got this guy here who loves being here and we've seen a dramatic improvement in our team. He can recruit. He's already here. We're going to have to fly somebody in, not paying $18 million a year. I love this. This is all great, man.
615-737-1025. We'll have more coming in hour number two. We're live at Tennessee Brew Works today. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.